Summer. The days lengthened and the sun rose higher and spring slipped into summer. There was an explosion of colour in our surrounding countryside. Buttercups, daisies, lady's slipper, ragged robin, shirt buttons, and many more wild flowers. Trees were a deeper green, and their skeleton branches were no longer to be seen. Hawthorn hedges were a blaze of white bloom, having a strange, heavy, sweet scent. The May blossoms were not to be picked, as it was supposed to be very unlucky to take May blossom into your home. There was a meadow on the left of School Lane, now all bungalows, which was a blaze of king buttercups about 2 foot high. I loved to wade through all these blooms waist high. I would throw myself down, gaze up at the blue sky and scudding white clouds, and imagine myself on some magic golden carpet floating away to adventures in far-off lands. Days were warm now, and we girls all shed our thick winter stockings and heavy shoes. We were thrilled to wear our white socks and brown sandals. Mothers were never keen to give permission to shed winter woolies. "Ne'er cast a clout till May is out," was quoted to me, but I don't think I knew what it meant. On our many walks, I recall going up Endway, now Essex Way, from the village as far as the big white gates, which were a barrier at the end. Through these gates into fields called Brown's Fields, stopping to explore and look for anything interesting. In the big pond, which was formed by the drainage from the hills on its three sides, trees, shrubs, and reeds shaded the larger area of the water, and it was home to a multitude of creatures, fur and feather. On several occasions, while sitting quietly on the bank, I saw kingfishers diving and swooping to spear small fishes, then vanishing into deep holes in the banks to feed their young. This pond was filled in when they built the new road and Endway became Essex Way. The Warrabit Warren to the north and the hills to the south side are still undeveloped. They are green belt, and let us hope they remain so. Long hot summer days passed, each one well enjoyed, walking, picnics, playing on the downs, and swimming. On very warm evenings, I was allowed, when it was dusk, to walk with a friend and an adult up School Lane to see the glowworms. There were literally thousands of these little insects, each side of the path, on the ground and in the hedges, their little fairy lights spilling over from the lane into my buttercup field, all twinkling and glowing away. Each light was about as big as a very small pea. It was very tempting to try and collect them and take some home. But what a disappointment when you got them in your hand. It was just a small, light brown beetle. Its light extinguished as soon as you touched it. I don't know where our children would be likely to find them now. Then there were the swimming parties. I would go with my sister and young friends, when the tide was in, over the downs, over the railway lines, along past the houseboats to the saltings. We had to jump over the rills and gullies to get to the deep water, and many a time I missed my footing and had a ducking before I got there. I was hauled out, covered in mud, and with much laughter ran the rest of the way to the water to rinse it all off. What fun we had! Sometimes the tide would not have covered the mud banks, and we would have mud fights. Slipping and sliding, we'd be covered with black slime, all to be rinsed away with clean water when the tide rose higher. Mud is supposed to be beneficial, but I don't know if this is true. It didn't seem to do us any harm. At this time of year, either side of the saltings towards Lee and Pitsy were covered with sea lavender. What a sight it was! A haze of pale mauve bloom and silver leaves. A lovely, earthy, salty scent as you waded through it to get to the water. We did pick this to put in vases at home, but it looked much better when it was left to frame the creek and colour the marshes. Summer advanced. The fields changed from green to gold. Farmers were busy from dawn till night harvesting their crops. I often used to go to Mrs. Warren's farm. It was situated over the field towards Pitsy, past the now Jopman's Lane estate, over a small bridge. It was a long way to walk, but there were no roads. Walking was the only way. Gangs of men were scything the hayfield, bundling it up and flinging the golden bundles of hay to the top of the giant stacks they were building. Mrs. Warren had a horse, two cows, calves, all grazing in the fields, and many chickens which I loved to feed with the maize. It must have been a very hard life. I wonder how she managed in the winter, so far from the village and any neighbours, no sanitation, only oil for light and solid fuel or logs for cooking and heating. Sunday school summer outings were a great event. A bus was hired to take us to Hockley Woods. It seemed such a long way, and it took us into another world. We had games, played hide and seek in the woods, and had picnic tea. We were all dressed up in our Sunday best for this occasion. It was a big adventure, and we returned home in the evening, exhausted after our trip abroad.
You have been listening to Memories, written and read by Iris South.